All right. I'm gonna maybe not describe the experience, but talk about experience that pretty much every human on Earth has. Anyone have a guess of what it is up front? What was it?
Use the restroom.
Anything else? Think like the beginning of life. Yes, everyone pretty much goes through being born. I remember when Emery, our first kiddo, was born, holding her, you know, you're a parent, you're like, oh, wow, this is amazing. And it's like, this is so cool. And then you're like, I got to take this kid home. I got to, like, change diapers. Like, how do I do that? Like, I'm supposed to feed him. Like, oh, I don't sleep for, like, 6 months. Like, and you're, like, learning, like, how to do this. And you're like, oh, my gosh, like, this kid doesn't listen to me. Like, what do I do? It reminded me of myself. I didn't listen. And this idea is like, oh, man, like, how do we be healthy, strong families? Like, how do we be parents that are healthy God's way and build God's family God's way? And then how do we raise kids God's way? Because if you look at, like, maybe my life when I was younger and, like, kind of the world, how a world does family, it's like the opposite of everything we just read here. And so when we read God's word, Jesus will show us how he has designed family for us to build a strong family. So Jesus's heart and his will is that we have really healthy marriages, that we have really healthy relationships with our kids, that our families are healthy. Now, if you heard that and you're like, oh man, that's not possible, that's that world system that's trying to tell us, like, because if you, I don't really watch TV or anything anymore, but if you watch like TV and movies, like, families are almost always broken. It's like, kind of, they make jokes about it. Like, it's the norm. But when you read the scriptures, Jesus says, no, you can have a healthy family. So I want us to begin to believe what scripture says. If Jesus says that we can do it in the word, then you can do it in your family. Because all of us come from different contexts. And I've got enough people now to know a lot of people's stories. Like, a lot of us come from some messed up families. I definitely did. And Jesus can take anything from your past and he can transform it with his love and his power by the Holy Spirit to give you a family that's thriving, not only for you, but actually for generations to come. Because Jesus wants your kids to be healthy so that they have healthy marriages too. And it goes on for generations until Jesus returns. So all y'all were born and all y'all probably going to have kids at some point. Whether they're your physical kids or they're going to be kids that God gives you spiritually that you're going to raise or from your family that you're going to invest in. So, and if you're thinking, oh man, like, I'm single, I don't have any kids, Anthony kind of named this earlier, the best time to become like a healthy spouse and a healthy parent is before you ever step into it. Because we can prepare God's way to be the most healthy parent, healthy spouse that we can be. So that's why we're going to get in the word, is so that you can prepare now, or if you're already in it, we can hone some of those things by looking at the word with what Jesus wants to do. So let's jump in and read verses 1-3 together. It says, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and your mother, things will go well for you and you'll have a long life on the earth. So in the scriptures here, we begin to see how God designs family. So how God designs the family system. And so we're talking over here in our group, like, there's this structure that God intends. There's this authority system. And last week we had talked about marriages, like healthy relationship between a husband and wife and how God has designed that. And now we're looking at the relationship between parents and children and parents. And if you it talked about obey. I'm going to be just ask an honest question. How many of y'all like to obey other people? Oh man, that's awesome. Like, no hands, maybe half a hand over here. Right? And so if you look back at the beginning of the Bible, like Tim was like, man, it took 3 chapters for everything to like fall apart, right? Genesis 3, you already have rebellion, disobedience, everything going on. And you're like, man, these humans, they don't like to obey. So we know, like, even when you read that word, you're like, obey, I got to obey my supervisor. I got to obey like my parents, I gotta obey my spouse. Like, you're like, ah, right? And so this obedience thing comes up from the beginning because it's so important. And it was said over here, this is a great comment from Jeffrey. It's like, hey, if we can't obey our parents, like, how are we gonna obey God, right? And so even God is training us as we obey our parents, we're actually learning how to obey God. and live in that humility before Him. So when we think about the parent-family system, it says children obey. So this is like children obey. And then it talks about honor. So when you have children that you would maybe consider minors, like in our today's age, right, under 17, it talks about like obeying your parents. But we got a lot of adult children here. And it says if you're an adult children, you honor your parents. So there's a difference between obedience and honor. They connect and they look different based upon your age and your relationship with your parents. And so God's design for human families reflects the Heavenly Father's spiritual family. So if you think about like the Heavenly Father has a spiritual family through Jesus, what we call the church. And so Jesus has designed the church to be a spiritual family. And He wants that our human families to reflect His spiritual family. Every Saturday night, Meredith and I take at least an hour to pray with each other over everyone by name, over the church and over everything. And what was really on my heart last night was praying and doing Rich as like a spiritual family. That when we come here, basically we're God's people as a church and we're a family. And that friendships just grow from our relationships together. Like when we go on the camping trip and In-N-Out after church today, if you came a little late, we're going In-N-Out after church, we want to grab some food together. It's like these times where we build friendships and we get to know each other on like a life-on-life heart level, and we do life together. That's God's design for us as a spiritual family, and He wants to build that even more into our biological families. And so God says that obedience to your parents is important because this is right in God's eyes. So we got two options, right? We can do what's right in God's eyes, or we can do what we think is right in our own eyes and go our own way. So what Jesus says straight up in the Word is obedience to your parents is right in God's eyes. So we see that obedience is the core and foundation of a healthy family system. And I'll say this too up front, like God really cares about our children's behavior. So God really cares about our children's behavior. He cares how our children, how they talk, how they behave, what they do, what they don't do. It's really important to Jesus, our children's behavior. And if you want to write this down, if you're thinking about in the context like spiritual leadership, there's what's called overseers. This is from 1 Timothy 3, verses 4 and 5. So 1 Timothy 3, 4 and 5. And then Titus 1, 6. Titus 1, 6, if you're writing those down. There's the leadership position of overseers. And one of the requirements is that your children are respectful and not rebellious, which is really interesting. And so what that does is it reflects that leader, that if their children are rebellious, it would actually disqualify them from that leadership position. So we can see for certain leadership positions, it's really important to God, because basically the scripture says, if you can't take care of your own family, how are you going to take care of God's church? And so where God trains us is at home, is how we take care of our families and lead and serve our families is exactly how we'll do it within our church context. So I'll share, this is like an insight, my own life, and I'll share some of my mess eventually as I get one of the stories. I really think respect or honor and rebellion is a heart issue. So I think that the idea of respect or honor versus rebellion is a heart issue. And so as parents, we have the greatest ability to shape our children's hearts. So as parents, we have the greatest ability to shape our children's hearts. So I'll throw this out there and you can consider this. I think about this from my own perspective. If our children have heart or behavioral issues, it actually might be more on me as a parent. So if my kids are having heart or behavioral issues, it actually might be more on me as a parent. And this is the reason, is because as the God the Father is my parent, as He's fathering me, He's actually training me how to parent my kids. So as the Heavenly Father, as He parents me, He's actually training me how to parent my kids. And so if I'm like, man, my kid has this behavioral issue or heart issue, I think the first thing I should be doing is, okay, Father, like, how do you want to parent me, and how do you want to teach me how to parent my kids? So if God is our Heavenly Father, our spiritual Father, He knows how to parent His children so well. And so we can go to Him for all the wisdom or understanding or insight we need to be able to operate a healthy family. So when we think about adult children, it's quoting, it says, honor your father and mother. This is quoting Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. So Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, where it says, honor your father and mother. And it says this comes with a promise that you'll have a long life on the earth and everything will go well with you. And so the opposite of honor would be dishonor, disrespect, and rebellion. So dishonor, disrespect, and rebellion. And what's pretty rough about that, if we operate with that heart attitude and behavior towards our parents, we could actually bring a curse on our life. That means that a door opens spiritually where negative things could come in by the way we're treating our parents, because of the way that God says he wants us to honor our parents or to obey our parents in the same way that we would honor and obey him. So I'm going to be real for a second, because it says, it doesn't say, hey, if you have great parents, honor your parents, or if you have great parents, obey your parents. It says like, honor your parents or obey your parents no matter who they are or how they treat you. And so this is one of the, I think, the biggest lessons in my life I had to learn, that where God, the Father had to really discipline me pretty rough. And when you think about like God disciplining, you're like, where's that in the Bible? If you look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 13, if you write that down, you want to look at it. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 13, it talks about how God the Father disciplines us as his children because he loves us. And he disciplines us because we're his legitimate children. And if we weren't legitimate children of God, he wouldn't have anything to do with us. He would say, okay, you can go your own way. But he loves us enough to start getting us on the right path through what he calls his discipline. And I've shared some of my story with you before, but my dad left when I was 12, and I had a lot of really bad examples of like how you shouldn't be a dad or how you shouldn't be a father, and just all these crazy things that took place. And then even my mom too, growing up, like we weren't believers. And so my mom was operating off of the world system at how to parent, and she had never dealt with her past. And so I was just treated pretty rough for a very long time. And by the way I was treated, oh man, I'll be honest with you, I didn't like my mom very much because of the way she had treated me. And I was really hurt, I was really bitter, I was really angry. And you know, I'd done this forgiveness stuff, worked through some things, but still there was things going on in my heart. And this was a couple years ago, but we were up in Sacramento for Christmas, visiting my family, and things just like weren't going well. And I was praying a ton, I was worshiping, I was doing everything I knew how to do to see this just dynamic change. And I said, Meredith, I've done everything I can do except fast. And I said, I need to do a three-day fast. She's like, you need a three-day fast? We're up here with your family at Christmas. I said, absolutely. I was like, nothing's working. I don't know what to do. So I did this three-day fast. I humbled myself before the Lord. And you know what came up? What he spoke to me? He said, you're not honoring your mother. And I said, but don't you see my past about how I was treated? He said, do you see my word? It says, honor your mother. Father, it doesn't say if they treat you well or whatever. He says, you need to honor your mother. And I was like, oh man. And it took me humbling myself for God to show me like, Jared, you're full of disrespect. You're full of dishonor. And this isn't how God does things in his family, and you need to make some changes in your life. So what I did was, as I humbled myself before my mom, and I asked her to forgive me for dishonoring her. And I didn't make excuses. I didn't say, you treat me this way or these things happen. I just said, I take ownership and responsibility. And you know, that's the first thing, is when we apologize and we ask forgiveness. The second thing that God says is, now how are you going to change your life? How are you going to change your behavior? What's going to look like? And so I had to begin to change my behavior towards my mom to actually live out what it says about honoring my mom. So one of the things that I practically do is every Sunday, I have this reminder go off my phone in the afternoon, and it says, honor your mother. What that did is it helped me build a habit. So I built a habit of doing that. So practically what it looks like for me, because my mom's up in Sacramento, is I'll either call her, I'll send her a text, I'll send her a photo of the kids, I'll have my kids call her. Prior to that fast, I had this resistance in my heart. I didn't want to do that. But after I fasted and I humbled myself, God began to change my heart, and he changed my heart further through obedience to him. So when we obey God's word, we're going to get God's blessing on our life. But when we disobey God's word, we're going to get the ramifications of that on our lives. And I'll say this too, like honor looks different for different cultures, right? Because we got Asian cultures here, We got Latino cultures here. We got African American culture. We got white culture, right? And so culture is going to look different with your parents than it will look maybe with the next generation that's lived here longer and has some different cultural experiences, right? And so, no, what does honor look like to your parents? What does honor look like to your parents, and how can you do that? And then what does it look like for you to have that relationship with your children? And I think there's a connection here between us honoring our parents and our children's behavior towards us. So I think there's a spiritual connection that how we honor our parents will actually have a spiritual ramification on our children's lives and how they will interact within our family. So let's look at verse 4 as we begin to wrap up this section together. It says, "Fathers or parents, do not provoke your children to anger by the way they treat you. Rather, bring them up with a discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord." Oh man, I'll tell you, growing up, that this Bible verse was not lived out for me, right? And that's why I had so much pent up stuff in my heart, why I wasn't honoring my mom until Jesus said, "Hey bro, you gotta get this right." So how we treat our parents really matters. So how we treat our parents, it really matters. And how we parent as parents, it really matters. And how we parent really matters. So we talked about God disciplining us as his children in Hebrews chapter 12. And the purpose is we're training to be, he's training us to be like him. So God wants us to be like him. He wants us to be like Jesus by the way he disciplines us and he shapes our lives. So some of the ways that he disciplines us is he uses hard circumstances. He uses hard circumstances because he wants to get our attention. Because if stuff isn't hard, we might put it on cruise control and just kind of, you know, just go about life. But when stuff hits us and it's hard, it gets our attention. So when the hard stuff comes, he's like, "Hey, I want to work out stuff in your heart." And let's be honest, most of us, when something hard happens, we want to hit the escape button, right? We want to find the fastest way out of pain and do our own thing. But remember, Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. So Jesus' suffering that he experienced here on the earth, it actually taught him obedience to the Father. You can find that in the book of Hebrews. And so God wants to use the pain in your life to actually shape you as a son or as a daughter. So I hope that begins to shape how we view pain in our lives, is that God wants to use that pain to shape us and make us more like him. So the scripture here was pretty clear. It said, don't provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. So don't provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. And what that is, that's intentionality. That's intentionality. When I think about provoking our kids to anger, and maybe you can think about your own life with your parents growing up, like if you've ever, like your parents would like belittle you or criticize you, say things to you that maybe like call you names or say horrible things to you or about you. Anyone ever get an overly strict consequence before? And you're like, look back and you're like, man, why did they beat me? Like they shouldn't have beat me, right? That was some of my experiences. And you're like, man, that's why I was so angry at my parents. Why I hated them is because they treated me like trash, right? And so the way we treat our kids, if we provoke them to anger, anger will produce rebellion, right? So if we provoke our kids to anger by the way we treat them, it'll actually produce rebellion in their hearts. It says, rather than doing that, it says, discipline them and give them instruction. So discipline, think, when I looked up the Greek word, discipline actually means to tutor, to educate, or to train. So to discipline means to tutor, to educate, or to train. And doesn't that begin to reshape how you think about parenting? Like our role as parents is to be educators, is to tutor them, is to come alongside them and to walk with them. And the instruction piece, I looked that up too and a little bit deeper. It talks about how words shape the inner life of another person. How the words we use shape the inner life of the kids that God blesses us with, that he gives us. And it's also the tone of your words and how you say and what you say. Because we can say the right thing, but if we say it the wrong way, oh man, it can totally derail something. right? And so it's how we use our words with our kids can make all the difference. And this is huge. The words that you speak to your kids directly, or the words you speak over their life when they're not present, they have significant weight and power to shape their entire lives. So the words you speak to your kids directly, or you speak over their lives when they're not present, they have weight and power to shape their entire lives for blessing or curse. Now, how many of y'all had some really mean things said to you by your parents? Anybody had that? Yeah. How many of y'all had some great things said to you by your parents? Mix of both. Yeah. Right? And so when you look back at those times, like, some of our most painful memories can be like things that were said to us. And people won't always remember what we said to them or what was said to us. We will remember how we felt about it, right? We'll remember because those feelings, they get lodged in us. That's kind of like if you ever, when you weren't supposed to do this, like there's wet cement and you put your handprints in it, so your handprints will stay there forever and you write your name. In the same way, the emotions that are lodged into us in those moments by our parents, it actually dries into us like that wet cement, and it sticks in us. If you're like, oh man, this is all bad news, don't worry. We're going to get to the good news of how Jesus redeems all these things, right? So the words we speak bring blessing or curse. But I hope this does too, is as you're thinking about, oh man, when I parent, you can look back on your experiences with your family and see how you were shaped. And here's the key. How you were parented as a kid is pretty much how you will parent as an adult. So you will parent how you were parented, unless you do the hard work of reflection of how you were parented, you forgive your parents, and you begin to learn God's way of parenting. That's where the redemption happens, is Jesus can change anything. He can change anyone. So it starts with this idea of reflection. This was said earlier by Anthony. This is one of the biggest things I've learned as a parent. You cannot control your children, right? You can't control your children. You're like, oh, but even when they're like two or three, I mean, have you ever tried to control a 2 or 3-year-old? You ever tried to like give them a hug and they squirm and want to run away? Like, there is no way that we can control our kids. Now you gotta ask this question. Does God try and control you? God doesn't try and control you at all. He gives you the ability to make whatever decisions you want with your life. And he says you're going to have to live with those consequences, whatever those are. So that's where we begin to see, okay, how does the God the Father, how does he parent us? How do I parent my children? The Father, Heavenly Father, he doesn't control us. He shows us the way. He shows us what to do according to his word. He guides us by his Spirit, right? In the same way, as parents, our role is mainly to guide and coach our kids. Our role as parents is mainly to guide and to coach our kids, and also to give consequences, right? We got to give our kids consequences so they can learn. You're like, why do we give our kids consequences? Because the Heavenly Father in Hebrews chapter 12, he gives us consequences for the purpose of shaping us to be more like him. And so one of the ways that I've learned how to do this, there's this book called Loving Your Kids on Purpose by Danny Silk. Loving Your Kids on Purpose by Danny Silk. This literally changed how I parent. Like, it totally changed my life. And so one of the things I've adopted from that book that's super helpful with my kids, because you know you want your kids to like obviously do what you're asking them to do. So if they obey the first time, you're like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. What if they don't keep obeying? So what I do is I'll ask them, hey, can you please do this? Right? I'll ask them the first time to please do it. And then if they're like, no, I don't want to, or they like keep playing or go like run away from you, maybe they didn't hear me. So I'll ask them a second time, right? So you got to give the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they didn't hear me. So ask them again the second time. No, Daddy, I don't want to do that. Well, what I didn't do is I give some options, right? Well, hey, you can either like clean up your toys now, or you can clean them up after dinner. What would you want to do? I want to clean them up after dinner. Okay. And then let's say they don't clean them up after dinner. Hey, you said that you were going to clean your toys up after dinner and you haven't done it yet. Would you like to clean them up now, or would you like me to clean them up for you? Well, I want you to, will you do it for me? Well, here's the thing. If I clean them up for you, you get to give me your dessert tonight, and I get to eat your dessert. So I get 2 desserts tonight. So do you want me to clean it up and I'll eat your dessert, or do you want to clean it up yourself? I'll clean it up myself. Sometimes the kids will say, you clean it up. I'm like, okay, I'll get your dessert, right? And then I'm eating their dessert and they're looking at me and they're like, I want dessert. I'm like, oh no, I cleaned up your toys. You gave me your dessert. This is great, thank you. And then what I did is like, they're learning right through these consequences of what they want to do. And then here's the other thing is like, when we say what we're gonna do, like we gotta follow through. Because if we don't follow through with what we say, what are our kids gonna learn? Well, my daddy says, when mommy says, they're not gonna do it. Their words, they don't matter. What are they gonna learn about God? Oh, if God says something, he's not gonna do anything about it. Like, he's just gonna let it go. Because remember, we're representatives of God to our children with the way that God has structured family. So there's this saying in our family, daddy says it, he does it. So daddy says it, he does it. And I intentionally said that to them so they could begin to learn, if my daddy, he says something, he's going to do it. Because so many kids have dads and moms that say things and never follow through, right? And it breaks down that relationship. But if my daddy says it, he's going to do it. He's going to follow through. I can trust my dad, right? And the thing is, if I give a consequence, I gotta follow through. Because if we don't follow through, we create rebellious children, right? We gotta follow through with our consequences. And some of them's like, oh man, this is gonna cost me my time. And so we gotta weigh out, like, do I really wanna give this consequence, right? Or do I really wanna, if I'm gonna say it, am I gonna do it? And so we gotta be able to follow through. And as parents, I wanna say this to us, is that we run our families, not our kids. As parents, we run our families, not our kids. I've observed just over the years watching different kids and parents interact, and it's like once the kid throws a tantrum or won't do it, the parents just cave in and do exactly what that kid wants. Do you know what that creates? That creates a rebellious child, right? Because then they're learning like, oh, I run the family. I tell my mommy or daddy what to do. But the idea is that God has designed the family where the parents are the ones who run the family. And so you are the one who tells your kids what to do. Your kids don't tell you what to do. And so you made it think like, hey, I got older kids, right? Like my kids are like almost adults, or they are adults. When your kids get older, your relationship with your kids change, right? Your relationships with your kids change. And so in the same way, like we wouldn't give our adult kids consequences. Like that doesn't work anymore. We're not their parents in that way. Like, that's where they need to honor rather than obey. And then that's where when we treat our kids, that really matters, right? And so when your kids are adults, it shifts to more of a support relationship, right? So in the beginning, when your kids are younger, that's more of guiding and coaching. When your kids are adults, it becomes more support. And it's building that relationship, asking them about their life. Hey, what do you need from me? Hey, how can I help you? Like, what can I do to support you? It's more of asking those questions and hearing from them and then connecting with them where they're at. So that's one of the shifts that take place. Here's some hot tips for you if you want to take these. The power of praying for your children. Praying for your children, even if you don't have children yet, because remember, prayer is outside of time. It can affect the past by resolving it through forgiveness. It can affect the present. It can affect the future because God's eyes are outside of time. So the power of praying for your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren is huge. So I invest a lot of my time praying for my kids. So like when I put them to bed individually, and then I spend time praying over them, and I'm like laying hands on them and praying for them. And then after I pray for them individually, I actually spend like another 10 minutes in their room just praying over them right there. Because I know the prayers that I pray is gonna shape their entire lives. Could you imagine, like, if parents didn't pray for their kids and then their kids grew up? What would the difference be if those parents spent 10 to 15 minutes a day praying for those kids day by day by day, over year, over year, over year? If you picture prayer like water, like filling up a swimming pool, right? If you jump in the swimming pool with water in it, that's gonna be pretty fun. But if you jump in the swimming pool without any water, that's gonna hurt, right? So the prayers that you pray as parents and grandparents is like filling up the swimming pool for your kids' lives. So when you pray for your kids, it actually shapes their entire future. It shapes their destiny. So as parents, we can determine the destiny of our kids through our time of committing to pray for them. Another hot tip is how you respond, not react, really matters. So how you respond, not react, really matters. So reaction is more of kind of like the strong emotion in the moment, like the knee-jerk reaction. If you think about anybody that reacts towards you, what's it going to create in you? Like usually like I'm going to fight back, or I'm going to close off and pull away depending on the personality of the person or the kid. And so if your kid does something you're like, oh my gosh, and you're ready to yell at them, just take a moment, take a breath, and you could say, hey, so-and-so, I noticed that this happened. Can you tell me more about that? That type of response with your kid is going to change your relationship with your kid. So instead of screaming or yelling at them for making a mistake, like criticizing with that really harsh tone, and just saying, hey, I saw this happen. Can you tell me more about it? You're inviting your kid into a relationship with you rather than pushing them away. And here's the thing, too. Like, if you're heated in the moment and you're angry with your kid, like, you don't need to do anything in the moment. Like you can take a break. You can step out of that space and go maybe go outside, just take a breather, right? Because if you think like 10 years from now, like will my kid, if they made a mistake I need to address, will it really matter in 10 years? No, it won't. Like it's totally not gonna matter. How I respond or react to my kid in the moment, will it affect them 10 years from now? Yes, it will. And so if we're heated, Just take a moment to step back. And I've learned too, like, don't make decisions when you're angry or you're highly emotional, because what comes with that is often really hurting our kids. So you can take a step back. So we don't need to make decisions when we're angry. Like sometimes, and, you know, my family, we're not perfect, right? My kids make mistakes. I make mistakes as a parent. I have to go to my kids and ask them to forgive me semi-frequently. I've learned that, like, I can delay decisions. So if my kid does something I ask them not to do a couple times, I'll say, hey, like, we're gonna talk about this later, right? So it sets the expectation, like, they're responsible for their behavior. They recognize, like, it's not gonna happen right now, it'll happen in a period of time. What that does is it helps me cool off, and then my kid is, like, thinking, oh man, like, daddy and mommy, they're gonna talk with me, like, I know I didn't do something right, and then they're gonna actually have time to reflect. When I've done that, I'll actually have my kids come to me before I talk with them, and they'll come and apologize to me. And that's pretty crazy, is because they're beginning to think through their, like, how their behavior. And you know where they learn to come and apologize to me? You know where they learn that from? I actually went to them first and asked them to forgive me. And so the model we set as parents, your kids are going to do the exact same thing that they experience with you. And one of the biggest pieces of advice I can give from my own story is building heart connections with your kids. Like taking the time to invest in them and build that relationship. And so, like, Ander and Emery, our kids, like, they both like different things. I've had to figure out what does one like and what's the other one like and do those things with them. When I was on a prayer retreat at the end of last year, one of the words God gave to me, he said, build and strengthen your relationship with Ander. Build and strengthen your relationship with Ander, who's our son. So God sees something in the future that I don't see yet, that I need to build and strengthen a relationship with him to be able to navigate those things with him. So when you take the time to take your kids out one-on-one or to take them out all together, like, you're investing into their future. You're investing into their marriages. You're investing into their relationship with your kids. So now can you begin to see the big ripple effect of all this? Is that when we build strong families as husbands or as wives or as moms or as dads, you're actually impacting the generations to come. You're either setting them up for success or you're setting them up for potential failure. And so when we do it Jesus' way, he can redeem anything, right? So we can forgive our parents, whether they're alive or they're deceased, right? We can forgive our parents. We can go and ask our kids to forgive us. We can go and ask our spouses to forgive us, right? Jesus can reset anything. He can restore anything. What he needs from us is obedience. He needs willingness. If we will do it his way and we will obey, he will redeem it. He can transform it 110%. The last thing I want to share, I feel like is really important, is I'm watching generations after generations interact with culture, is what we expose our children to really matters. Like what we as parents expose our children to really matters. And one of the biggest things I've seen now that shapes the generations is screens. So screens are the entryway into your personal life, the lives of your kids, and the lives of your families. So what we allow our children to be exposed to on screens is gonna shape their hearts, which ultimately shapes their behavior. And if you think about gateways or entry points into your life personally or lives of our kids, your entryways are in your body. So our entryways are our eyes, what you see with your eyes, our ears, what you listen to or what you hear, our skin, what we touch or how it's touched, our mouth, like what we eat or drink, and then our sexuality is another big one too, right? We see a lot of that in culture. So if we're exposing our kids to intentionally or unintentionally like graphic material with like violence or language or parents disrespecting their kids or vice versa or like sexual promiscuity, and you look a few years down, you're like, why are my kids so violent? Or like, why are they having this promiscuity? Or why are they talking this way? It's often through screens that they've learned these things. The biggest challenge for me as a parent is when my kids are exposed to other people's kids who've been exposed to this stuff. Because we're intentional on what we expose our kids to or not, don't expose them to. And I have to then coach or guide my kids through what they're being exposed through with these other kids. And so one of the things I say in our family is, in our family, we don't do it this way. So I tell my kids straight up, like, the way you're talking or the way you're behaving in our family, like, we don't do it this way. And my kids are beginning to learn, oh, we do it differently. And so I was like, sometimes other families would do it different than us, and that's okay. But in our family, we do it this way. And so my hope is that my kids will be able to stand in the midst of their peers, and if their peers are doing something that they shouldn't be doing, my kids will say, hey, I don't do it that way, or hey, you shouldn't be doing this. Or they'll walk away, right? Because we can empower our kids as parents. We have the greatest influence to shape our kids. It's not social media, it's not TV, it's not movies, it's not their friends, it's actually us as their parents. So we have the greatest opportunity to shape them. One other thing I'll share is there's like this principle of first mention. The principle of first mention. So with kids, when they hear something the first time, that will begin to shape their entire understanding of what that is. So a funny example is, like a question I do at night with my kids is a high-low buffalo. Got it from Anthony. And then I don't really like lows. I don't really believe in them because I believe in opportunities. But I said, I changed it to high, medium buffalo. You know what Andrew's first response was? No, it's high, low buffalo. So it's always stayed high, low buffalo. And I realized, oh, I mentioned to you first time. So think about it like this. When your kids... Anthony, can you go over there real quick?